Here myself. Well, I hope everybody's doing well this morning. It is good to see everybody out on this beautiful Lord's Day morning. It's such a privilege to be able to gather with brothers and sisters in Christ to study God's Word. Brother Scott will not be here, in my understanding, for the next couple of Sundays, today and I think next Sunday. And Lord willing, when he returns, we'll resume our study of John. I'm going to take a little different direction this morning. I had the privilege last quarter of studying with the Hilltoppers. I thoroughly enjoyed that study with them. And we talked about choices. And what it boiled down to was our trust and our obedience in God and the decisions that we make in life. We all make choices. Every one of us make choices on a daily basis. Some good, some bad. And we all understand that. And we have a good basis for our understanding of what is right and wrong from God's Word. But you know, there have been a lot of choices made down through time that have affected more than just the people making the choice. And that's the way a lot of our choices are sometimes. You know, we make choices on a daily basis and we think, well, this is my decision and it's only going to affect me. But that's not always the case. And what I'd like to do with you is study a little bit from that study we had together. The title of the class was, What If Adam Said No? And we all know Adam was as human as we are, and we all know that Adam had a wife and Adam had children, and I'm sure there were many occasions when Adam had the opportunity to say yes or no. But there's one particular time I want us to talk about this morning, and our basis of study will come from Genesis chapter 2. And if you would turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, we're going to read together this morning what occurred at that point in time before and during the life of Adam. If you back up in Genesis chapter 1, we know what has occurred with God's creation. We know all the things that God has done because he's told us. And if you look at the end of the chapter, verse 31, at that point in time, I believe God was pleased with everything that he had done because he said, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, we know it took him 6 days to do what he did, to create what he did. But beyond that, he did some other things after he rested on the seventh day. And if you will, look at chapter 2 with me. In verse 1, it says, Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up abyss from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that which encompasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone, and the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hidekel, that is, it which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now the instruction that that we're given here from this point to when he has created man, and we know Adam is that man, God's been very clear about what he's done, and God's been very clear about his instruction to Adam. You know, there's nothing vague here about him telling him, look, you can do this or you can do that, but he told him specifically, you know, you can't eat of that tree, because if you do, you're going to die. Now, who else was God speaking to here? It was Adam, wasn't it? He spoke to Adam, and that is the significance to me of the relationship that Adam had with God. It was a one-on-one thing. When I think about the Garden of Eden, when I was a little fellow, I used to think about the Garden of Eden growing up, because we were always told the story of Adam and Eve. It used to amaze me that, you know, Adam and Eve were created by God and they lived in this wonderful garden. But as I grew older, you know, I became a little frustrated, because I got to thinking, you know, when you're young, death is not as significant as it is, you know, when you grow up. You're a little afraid of it, but you don't really understand it. And then you begin to ask questions. Well, where did death come from? Why do we have to die? And then you learn where all this is rooted, and it all comes from the decision that Adam made. But he had the same choice that we have, and that's the thing that I want us to learn this morning. These choices began in the beginning. God instructed Adam as to what he was supposed to do and what he was not supposed to do, and Adam made choices. But moving forward in verse 18, it says, And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, the relationship that God established here is the first between man and woman. And the interesting thing about this to me is, I don't believe everything we're reading about occurred on the eighth day. God rested on the seventh day. Do you think it took Adam longer than a day to name all these animals, to name everything that God had created? I think it's an interesting question to think about. If you think about the scope of what Adam dealt with, I think a lot of time transpired. And a lot of things went on, and I think he was allowed to live in this garden for, you know, a period of time beyond maybe what we want to think about. We know that he was, well, how old was he when Seth was born? He was 130, wasn't he? All right, and then he lived, it'll be what, over 900 years. I don't think this happened as quickly as sometimes we sum it up. I think Adam had a special relationship with God, being the only man on earth, and I think that relationship endured for a while he lived in this garden. But God decided that man needed a helpmeet. But during this time, I believe that man, through Adam, was closer to God than he would be later, after he had begun to make other decisions on his own. We get into verse 3, and we see that some things are fixing to change that are going to affect the lives of these people, these two people. Verse 3, in beginning number 1, verse 1 says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. I'm sorry, ask a question. Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, it is an interesting thing here to me to think about, why would the serpent approach Eve? Why did he approach Eve? Who had been told directly by God not to partake of this fruit? Man, that's exactly right. And what was man's responsibility to Eve? What was his responsibility to her? That's exactly right. I think it was his responsibility to teach her, don't you? And I think she had been taught. Because she, when the devil approached her, and we know this was Satan, if you look over in Revelation 12, verse 9, I don't know what kind of serpent we're talking about here. A lot of people want to refer to that as a snake. But in Revelation 12, verse 9, it says, it refers to the devil and or Satan as that old serpent, the great dragon. Again, I don't know the form that he took here, but through this serpent, Satan was able to communicate with Eve. And he was able to ask her questions. And I think that's a very interesting relationship. How many of y'all have ever communicated with a serpent? Good point. You know, it is an interesting thing to me. The only communication I've ever had with my wife about a serpent happened to be with a snake or a lizard, and it wasn't a good communication. It was get rid of that thing. So there was a different relationship here that I think we need to understand. And we need to understand the way things were set up and the way God had set these things up. Do you think Adam named that serpent? I think he did. I think he had to see that serpent, and I think he had to name that serpent. And I think that Eve understood that. But I don't think there was a relationship of fear here that endured until later, after this creation. Sir? She did answer in verse 3, didn't she? We'll read that. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Brother Gene, where do you think she got that answer? That's exactly right. I think that's exactly where she got it. Now, the interesting thing about the lesson here, for us to glean and for us to learn from, is, you know, there's not a lot, there's not, well, what if Adam didn't tell Eve? You know? What if Adam didn't tell Eve? I think Adam instructed Eve. And I think Eve knew what Adam knew because she answered correctly, didn't she? She pointed out what they could and what they couldn't do. So there had to be an understanding there. But I think that, like I said, I think there was a different relationship. Paul even refers back to this particular time in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. And he refers to this account, and he says, he talks about the serpent beguiling Eve through subtlety. And the thing about it, he had fear then. Paul had fear then because he was scared of those Corinthians' minds being corrupted. That's exactly what he told them. And he told them they'd be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Part of this lesson, too, here is the complication that man brings to the table. Every time we get involved with something, we complicate things a lot of times to justify it. And I think that's what we're seeing here. But anyways, we read on. Eve gave the serpent the proper answer to the question. But that's the way sin enters our lives a lot of times, isn't it? We might get a simple question, and we might give an answer that we think someone either wants to hear or is something that we're comfortable with or comfortable saying, but it's not always the answer we need to give. But that's not what Eve did. Eve gave the serpent the answer that God gave Adam. But what happened in verse 4? And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, was this true?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Elaborate on that. That's exactly right. Deception, wasn't it? He was being very subtle about this thing. But he was making her think in one direction, wasn't he? You don't have to worry about this. What God knows is this. You know, you're going to know good and evil. Well, he was just misleading her is what he was doing. He was fooling her. But what happened? What did Eve do? Did she say, get away from me, snake, dragon, whatever it was, serpent? Get away from me? No, she started looking at that fruit with a different eye, didn't she? Verse 6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now I have a question for you. Was Adam with her when she plucked that first piece of fruit? Yes. That's what it says, doesn't it? Said he was with her. That's my understanding of the verse. Now, why didn't Adam say no? Think it was just too desirous, just something they couldn't turn down? He wanted to please her, and she was pleasing herself. It's an interesting question. And as a little fellow, like I was talking about a while ago, it was hard for me to understand. Why, with everything they had in that garden, why did they have to eat that one piece of fruit? Because when you understand the ramifications of it and the way it affected mankind from the beginning up until this day, you know, why it's huge. Put it there to begin with? That's a great question, too. Why did he put it there to begin with? Why is sin in the world today? Why are the temptations out there? There you go. There you go. Brother Wayne, I think, hit the nail on the head. It's the first test of faith right here. But we're tested each and every day. Our faith is tested each and every day. But it's an interesting question when you think about this, because Eve reached up and she picked that fruit and she gave it to Adam and they both ate it. I pointed out earlier, I think there was a long relationship in the garden, or an extended, I don't want to mislead anybody, but an extended relationship in the garden between God and Adam, and then between God, Adam, and Eve before this happened. Why in the world would they not trust the God in heaven that gave them the opportunity to live in this garden? It certainly is. It certainly is. And people have talked to me many times about, you know, sin in the world and why is it so much more worse now seemingly than it has been. Well, there are more people. There are more people. You know, it seems worse, I think, because there are more people. And there's a lot more temptation because there are more people and it's multiplied. To me, it's kind of an exponential thing because you've got, you know, so many ways that people can go to be tempted. But you think about this one thing. You think about this one thing that they had in that garden. You know, how simple and how innocent, I guess for lack of a better way of saying it, it was, you know, for them. But it wasn't innocent, was it? The result of sin is the same. The result of sin is death if we don't repent. But in verse 7, what happened to them? Here they are, you know, up to the point of taking this fruit. You know, up to the point of eating this forbidden fruit. Let me rephrase that. Everything was going well for them, wasn't it? And everything should have gone well for it because it was established by God. It was set up by God. It was good. He said that everything he had done up through the sixth day was good. And I believe up to this point in time, his relationship with man was good. But verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Where did that knowledge come from? How did they know? When he made them, they were adults. They didn't need clothes. They weren't ashamed. Where did that shame come from? We know, don't we? sin, turning against God, going against God's will. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Why did they need to hide? Why did they need an apron? And then why did they need to hide after they had the apron?
They got the knowledge.
They had the knowledge, didn't they, George? That's right. They knew something then that they didn't know before. And now, to me, this happened pretty quickly. There are a lot of things that I think we see going on here that happened, like I said, over a period of time. But this happened pretty quickly when they disobeyed God and they ate this forbidden fruit. But you think about the relationship that they had with God. They heard the voice of the Lord God. Now, they didn't look upon God. They heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Wasn't that a wonderful, wonderful relationship? I thought about that as I've grown up and as I've grown older. You know, how neat that would have been to have had that relationship in that garden that God created for them. Actually, he created it and then made them a part of it, and it was for them. How wonderful it would have been to have heard God's voice in the cool of the day. You know how relaxing the cool of the day is in the evening sometimes when you've had a hot day and then it turns off kind of cool and it's pleasant? That would have been a special thing, wouldn't it? It would have been for me. But they couldn't enjoy that anymore. How many times do you think they had heard God's voice in the cool of the day? We don't know. But I expect his communication with them was constant. I think it was consistent. I think God loved them. I think God cared about them just like he loves us and cared about us. But when they messed up, what did they do? They hid, didn't they? And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" You think he was trying to get a response out of Adam, or do you think he didn't know? I think he was trying to get Adam to answer him, don't you? God knows everything and God's everywhere. But he asked him, "Where are you? Where are you, Adam?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, it's God talking to him now, "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" How'd you figure that out, Adam? "Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" There's a question. Very straightforward. God's always straightforward in his word. There's not a lot of beating around the bush when it comes to studying God's word. He just came straight out and asked him. And what did Adam say? The same thing a lot of us say. "And the man said, the woman thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Two layers Adam's put between himself and God, isn't it? He said, "Look, you gave her to me, and she gave it to me." Now, why didn't Adam say no? When he had the opportunity to say no, why didn't he say no? It's that test of faith Brother Wayne was talking about a while ago. But here he's telling God his side of it. She gave it to me. You gave her to me, and she gave it to me. You know, so that's the way it worked. But God wasn't pleased with that. And verse 13 says, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Is that true? Yeah. Paul said it was, didn't he? And that reading from 2 Corinthians. The serpent beguiled Eve, tempted her, but who made the choice to eat? She did. The serpent didn't force feed her. She made the choice to eat. And she said that. But she blamed it on the serpent. She said he tempted her, and that's true. And she did eat. But again, I go back to where God's relationship was with Adam. You know, why didn't Adam put a stop to this? You know, Adam should have put that fist down, should have laid that law down, said, "Eve, there's a lot of things we can do in this garden that are really, really good, but there's one thing we cannot do, and we are not going to do it. But when that serpent tempted Eve and Adam was with her, what did they do? Both of them fell short, didn't they? Is it any different today? No. We're all tempted and we all fall short. And we know that we're saved by God's grace. You know, Paul had a thorn in the flesh, didn't he? But he said what? Whose grace was sufficient? God's grace. But, you know, in verse 14, God is not pleased with what's gone on. And we're going to begin to see the price that was paid. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. How was that serpent cursed above everything else? That's a pretty rough way to go, isn't it? My perception of this is at the point in time he tempted her, he didn't have to crawl on his belly. It wasn't what we think of now in terms of that snake and that lizard that we've talked about over and over again. But that was fixed to change, wasn't it, Brother Wayne? That was fixed to change big time. Verse 16 says, and unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now this may go back to what we were talking about earlier. Eve was given to Adam as a helpmeet, wasn't she? But was he to rule over her until this verse? I'm not sure. But I know that they made that choice together to eat that fruit.
Isn't it interesting that the serpent is the recipient of the curse, but Satan is working through the serpent? So is the serpent really responsible or not?
That is a great question. Brother Bob points out that the serpent received the curse, but Satan's working through the serpent. Was the serpent responsible? Any comments on that?
Of course, it was. It is strange that he is able to reason in some form or fashion that we don't understand.
Exactly right. There are many things here that we really can't relate to today. You know, the only speaking I've ever done to a serpent was probably yelling or just before I cut its head off or, you know, something like that. But this is, like I say, it's a different relationship that we can't completely understand maybe in terms of relating to it and having experienced it, but we can accept it by faith and believe that it happened the way God says it happened because it did. This is a different time, sir. That's a great question. Brother Bob asked, how can a fruit give a person that knowledge, and why didn't God fence it off? There are a lot of things that go on in life today that I don't choose to participate in, but there's not a fence around them. That fence is faith. That fence is our faith in God. Does that mean we don't fall short? Nope. We've all sinned and come short, and that's part of it. But you know, in this time, in this different dynamic, you know, it's interesting to me how important these two trees were. And if you notice, the explanation was given about which tree. There were all kinds of things in the garden, but there were two specific trees that God pointed out in the midst of the garden. One was this tree that caused them the problems, and the other tree was what? Tree of life, wasn't it? That's right. The tree of life. Now you think about that. When he told them about this tree not to partake of, did he say you can run to this other tree? and gain life? I don't think he did he? We don't have it written down, do we? And they sure didn't do it when they hid. When they put on those aprons and they knew they were naked, do you think they knew they had done something wrong? I think so, or they wouldn't have hidden. There was no reason to hide. If they didn't think they had done something wrong, if they hadn't fallen short, if they hadn't done things contrary to God's will, which he had told them specifically not to do, then there would have been no reason to hide. But these are good questions. And these are questions that I had, like the questions that we're bringing out this morning, are questions that I've had growing up. But we learned from this lesson what the consequences of these choices. What were the consequences so far for the serpent? He was going to be cursed, wasn't he? Above every beast. Of all the cattle and above every beast, that serpent was going to be cursed. What was going to happen to Eve? Had Eve had any children up to this point? No. We don't read about them, do we? But when she did, things were going to be different. But then he gets to Adam. Verse 17 says, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." That's pretty strong language, isn't it? Up to that point, did Adam have to worry about dying or returning to the dust? No. So what came into being as a result of Adam's choice not to say no? Death. And how did it stop with Adam and Eve? No. They were the father and mother of it, weren't they? Came from the beginning because they made this choice. It's a very, very powerful lesson in a very few verses here that we can glean that I believe, extended over a period of time. And they chose to turn their back on God. How many times have we seen that in God's Word? We see it over and over again through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, and the price that was made because of those choices. Brother Jim. That's a great point. It's even referred to as paradise in the New Testament over in Revelation. but that's a good point. Things were fixing to change for Adam big time. Excuse me. But Adam went on and named his wife. Verse 20, it says, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, to me, they're still participating and partaking of the fruit that God created in the garden. And when they committed this sin, turned their backs on God, did God completely turn his back on them? This is a touching thing to me. God clothed them. Here they had on these little makeshift aprons that they made out of a bunch of leaves, and he clothed them. And that to me tells me a lot about that relationship that God had with Adam, wanted to have with Adam and Eve, but who messed it up? Adam and Eve. Plenty to eat, like Brother Jim was just talking about. You walk through the garden, you get what you want. There it is, sitting there waiting for you. The serpent comes up, messes everything up. with his temptation, but who gave in to the temptation? We can blame everything we want to on the internet. We can blame everything we want to on life. We can blame everything we want to on circumstances that surround us. I've been guilty of that same thing. But when it gets down to it, a lot of times the choices I make determine how things work out and where I place my faith. Where did Adam and Eve place their faith? Was it in the serpent or themselves? I think it was in themselves, don't you? I believe they thought they knew more than God after somebody else gave them a little more information. That's why it behooves us to go back to God's Word. When people come to you in this life and they say, you can do this, you can do that, or you can do the other, you need to stop and say, well, what does God tell me to do about that? We all make those choices each and every day. And this was a bad choice that Adam and Eve made, and it all started in the beginning. Verse 22 says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, what would have happened, do you think, if Adam and Eve had known about that tree of life or its capabilities after they had sinned? You think they would have run to it and eaten that fruit? It could have been.
I don't think that they could just go and eat it once. I may be wrong, but I think it's...
It could have been, but it would have had an effect. And the interesting thing about it is God noticed, you know, very specifically what had been done in verse 22, and he says, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Who else knew good and evil? Who was with God from the beginning? I'm assuming us is the Godhead. Is that what you're? Yeah, that's the Godhead. And speaking amongst themselves, what are they saying? Well, you got to change this situation. He's going to become like us. Would that be a good thing on earth? It would have been a bad thing if they had eaten of that tree of life and live forever, because they could. The man's not able to handle that. God put him out of that garden. God put him out of that paradise. God took away what he had given them because of their choices.
So why didn't he just pluck the tree out?
Good question. Brother Bob said, why didn't he just pluck that tree out, Brother Jim? That's right. That's right. And I'm not sure that, I know they didn't have need of it because they were walking around without any clothes until they sinned, and then they sewed fig leaves because they were ashamed. They didn't know how to go and take animals' lives and fashion those skins, did they? That's another thing I think God taught them in this lesson. You know, was how to do something even when they were out on their own. He didn't leave them completely hanging, but they were going to have to work for it from now on. You know, it wasn't going to be that easy, like Jim pointed out a while ago. It's not going to be just, you know, walking through the garden and reaching up on a tree and plucking what you want. You got to work for it. Adam, you're really going to have to work for it. They're all going to have to work for some things now. And the serpent was really going to be cursed. Any comments on the verses thus far? I think this garden was a big area. What do you think? Anything that had four rivers flowing out of it and four rivers coming to being. How many rivers are there in Montgomery? Think about the size of the area of Montgomery. You know, you think about the Alabama River. When you think about this, I think it was a pretty big place. And I think, like I said, that relationship had gone on for quite some time between Adam and Eve and between God, and then Satan tempted them through the serpent. They paid a high price for it. If at the point in time when Eve offered Adam the fruit, or when the serpent tempted her, and she said, no, I'm not going to do this. You know, Adam's told me what's going to happen from God. And she said no, and had not offered it to Adam, and Adam had not partaken of it. What do you think would have happened? Do you think they would have been punished? Or anything else? We don't know, do we? I don't mean to ask foolish questions. That's not the point of the class. The point of the class is to get us to think about the ramifications of the sin. But you think about it. Eve disobeyed. If she had not, or if Eve had partaken of the fruit and Adam said, no, I'm not doing this. God told me not to do it. Would they have been separated? Brother Jim. Good question. That's exactly right. Satan's not going to give up. That's another point of the lesson. We can sit there and, you know, we've got to be on guard each and every day, each and every moment of each and every day. You know, the servant had disobeyed. And he'd put himself into that, or the serpent had disobeyed. He had been, Satan was working through him. So that relationship, I definitely believe, would have changed. But the point is, the temptation was made, and they all yielded to it. All of them yielded to it. You know, Satan came through the serpent. I think the serpent knew exactly what was going on at this point in time in the garden. And Adam and Eve knew exactly what was going on because God had told them. There wasn't any going back. But it's a tough lesson for us sometimes because, you know, we don't want to think about it. We don't want to think about how it might affect us. But anyway, the conclusion is, I think these are all questions that, you know, they really don't matter because they all said yes to disobedience and sinned, and they were punished. And it's no different today. What happened to that tree of life? That's an interesting question, Brother Bob, because even in Revelation, Jesus teaches us to, in Revelation 2, verse 7, Jesus teaches us, to him that overcometh, he will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So where is that tree of life? Blood got it. There you go. Well, one thing about it, that tree of life that existed during the day of Adam and Eve, nobody could go back in that garden, could they?
And I think that was a reminder. They had the church in there, and they passed close to it, they remembered.
Absolutely. Now think about the lifespan that we live, okay? If you sin, you fall short, and you don't repent, approximately how long are you going to have to remember that sin? Adam lived over 900 years. Think about how long Adam had to think about that sin while here on earth. And to Brother Bob's point, walk by where that garden was and to see that cherubim that was keeping him out of there. Powerful, powerful lessons for us and the price that was paid by them. They lost a lot. Thank you for your kind attention and for your...